At the mission build this week and yesterday, and the drywaller was putting the seams and mud on the house. And hopefully next Friday and Saturday, if you like to paint, you can come and help us paint the mission house. We're getting close. Mary Ann walked Giselle, that's the mom we're giving the house to, through the house this week, and she was just overflowing with gratitude. I promise you, the family that's getting this house has a deep sense of thankfulness to this church, and I thank you also. Oh Lord, you are the God of unimaginable power and majesty. But you're also the God of the simplicities of the human soul. You're the God who is abundant in love. You are the God whose mercies are new every morning. The God of omnipotent grace. And as we need to know you as the majestic God, we need to know you as our Heavenly Father. And I pray that you'd grant us that grace today. In Christ's name, amen. There was a man who was a farmer. This guy had an unusual sense of entrepreneurship and business savvy, and he expanded beyond farming. I guess today we would call it agribusiness. And as his business grew, he hired more employees. This dad was the kind of dad that he had two sons, but he expected them to work. They couldn't stay home and play video games all day. They had to work in the business. His oldest son was kind of a brooding kind of guy. Yeah, passive aggressive, you know. He was always annoyed about something. And his younger son, he was a free spirit. He was happy most of the time, but not real responsible. And one day his youngest son said, "Hey, Dad, I want to talk to you a minute." And they sat down and the son said, "I don't like farming. I don't want to be a farmer. I want to go to the big city. I've heard stories about the big city. They have fun there. This farm is..." And I want you to give me my inheritance now. "Okay, Dads, I don't know how that would go with you, but that would not be a pleasant conversation in my family. One of my kids roll up on me and say, 'Hey, dude, I'd like to have mine now.' Somebody would get grouchy." But this dad, this father, was much wiser and had greater insights than I ever hoped to have. And he didn't try to talk the boy out of it. He just simply said, "I'll work that out." And he figured it out, and he gave the son his inheritance right then and there. The young guy was exuberant. He got his stuff together as quickly as he could, and he split. And he went on a long journey to this city that he had heard all these stories about, where everybody had fun all the time. And it wasn't like anything he had ever seen. He met all the wrong people, and they took him to all the wrong places. And somehow or another, he always lost at the gambling place. And the girls were fun, but they were expensive. Somehow or another, he just never got around to getting a job. And before he knew it, he had squandered his whole inheritance. We know this story as the prodigal son. But this isn't really about the son. This story is about the father. In verses 11 through 24, the word father is used 9 times. This is a father story. Somehow or another, this boy felt entitled. He felt like, I'm entitled to this. Why shouldn't, it's my money and I want it now, as the commercial says. And in his deep wisdom, the father knew if it was hard for the son to leave, it would be harder for him to come home. And if it was easy for the son to leave, it would be easier for him to come home. And he squandered it faster than he assumed he would. He went through everything. Could I ask you, have you assumed on God's grace? Have you taken his blessings and chosen to live far from him? You see, every good thing in your life came from your heavenly Father. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Whether you recognize it or not, whether you will acknowledge it or not, everything good in your life is a gift from God. All right, you see me after church, that kid gets ice cream money. You say, how can you say this is God's gift to me? It's easy. You could have been born in Ethiopia. You think you'd be living the way you do now? When I was a boy, polio was common. They lined us up at school and gave us shots, and now polio is rare. You kept yourself all your life from having some debilitating disease. Everything good in my life is from God. And somehow or another, I can't feel entitled to take all his blessings, pack them up, and run off on him. And leave him behind because I say, I just don't like the kind of life you want me to live on the farm, God. I want to live a different kind of life. I need to ask you a second question. Can you think of God as a wise and loving father? Or do you have a very, very different image in your mind of God? I want to think of God as the most gracious, loving, merciful, and gentle father that I'm possibly capable of imagining. I'm going to tell you why. Because what you think about God determines your relationship to him. If you think he loves you, if you think he's rich in mercy, if you think that his grace is omnipotent, you're going to have a very, very different relationship to him than if you think God is angry and looking to punish you for being a disobedient child. Church. These next three verses are the only verses in this text where the word father doesn't appear, and they are disasters. So this kid goes through everything. I mean, he wastes it all. Then all of a sudden, his friends aren't so friendly anymore. Nobody's returning his call. When he's broke, he's not so fun to be around. Suddenly, the people who said they were his friend, they're nowhere to be found. No, I don't have any room for you to stay with me for a while. I'm sorry, you can't hang out at my place. And it isn't too long, there's no place for him in the city. He's broke, and sleeping on the sidewalk doesn't work. And so he does the most unthinkable thing you can imagine. He leaves the city and goes out into the country and says to a farmer, "Would you hire me?" The guy said, "Yeah, I will hire you. I got a job I can't get anybody else to do, and if you'll take it, I'll hire you. I need somebody to run my pig lot." Okay, I don't know anything about raising pigs, but I can tell you this. I've been out on my motorcycle. You can smell a pig farm a long time before you see it. Especially when you're on a motorcycle. You start recognizing, yeah, that doesn't smell so good. And then it gets stronger and stronger. Then I feel like I need to spit. And sure enough, there it is, big old pig farm. The boy who said, "I don't want to live on your farm, Dad. I don't want that kind of lifestyle." Now he finds himself working for a man who's not nearly as nice as his dad, giving him a job his dad would never give to anyone. And on top of that, the pay was terrible. And beyond what you can imagine, every day his life degenerated a little more. Yeah, when he bought those clothes, they were designer clothes. But now they're filthy and they're ragged. He'd lost weight. He was emaciated. His hair was matted. He was a mess. And in his desperation and in his hunger, one day, he lost all self-respect and said, I'm going to eat some of that pig slop. I am so hungry. I've lost all pride. I'm going to eat some of that pig slop. The young man found that life away from his father didn't work. Now he was working for a foreigner who was no match to his dad. He was working the worst possible job he could ever imagine. He was desperately hungry. It made sense to him to eat pig food. He was filthy, exhausted, emaciated, laying on the ground. Life wasn't working. Are you trying to live your life apart from God? I promise you it will not work. Look, Jesus told this story. You say, Doc, I'm doing pretty good. I live in a nice house. I got money in the bank. I got food in the refrigerator. I'm just not that desperate. Church, it's worse. The pig pen isn't on the outside. Now it's on the inside. You think he was desperate with the pig pen next to him? We are infinitely more desperate because we bring the pig pen inside of us. Our minds and hearts are corrupt. We exhaust ourselves on things that don't matter, and our souls are emaciated. And we end up serving a boss that is infinitely worse than God. Whatever you have put in God's place in your life, how's it treating you? How's it treating you? Do you feel cared for? Do you feel like you matter? Or is your boss content to underpay you, leave you desperate and empty? Because I'm telling you, your heavenly Father would never treat you that way. Are you dissatisfied with life? I'm not asking you, are you dissatisfied with your stuff? I'm asking you, are you dissatisfied with life? Have you taken the life your Father gave you and moved away from him? And now you find there's just a certain dissatisfaction with life. A certain emptiness. A little voice that says, I want it better. I hoped for better. And as the boy lay there, all his self-respect gone, he came to himself. Suddenly, he saw his life the way it really was. And the first thought he had was, my father. My father. He's laying there desperate and alone, and the thought came to him, my father has a lot of people who work for him, and he doesn't treat any of them the way I'm being treated. My father has a lot of people working for him, and none of them are hungry today. He feeds them well. It is a good place to work. And if I don't do something, they'll find me dead in this pig lot. And then the young man said, I will arise and go to my father. I hope you can hear what he says. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father. He didn't say, I'm going to get up, I'm going to try to find a stream, I'm going to try to wash myself up, I'm going to try to wash these dirty clothes up, and then I'm going to go home, I'm going to try to find somebody who likes me, I'm going to ask them for help, I'm going to see if they can talk to my dad for me. He didn't say any of that. The thought that filled his mind, his hope was, he knew who his father was. And if he could get home to his father would make everything right. I will arise and go to my father. And when I get there, I'm going to say, Father, I sinned against you and against heaven. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. If you will just hire me to work on your farm, I promise I'll be the hardest worker you have, and you'll never hear a complaint from me. The son remembered the father. I'm asking you today to remember everything you know about your heavenly father. I'm asking you to remember the qualities and the characteristics of his being. I'm asking you to remember that he is majestic beyond description. He's powerful beyond comprehension. But he's also your loving heavenly father. He loves you with a love that only a good father can have for a child. He loves you with a steadfast love, not based on are you doing things right or wrong. He loves you in spite of what you're doing. He has a heart of grace. He's just looking for ways to treat you better than what you deserve. He's rich in mercy. He's ready to forgive everything that needs to be forgiven. It's his nature. And you're his child. I want you to do what the son did. I want you to focus on your heavenly father. Listen to what he says. I will go to my father. At some point, you have to change. At some point, you have to refocus yourself and say, I'm looking at the wrong stuff. I'm valuing the wrong stuff. It's leaving my life less than what it should be. I'm going to try to return to my father. And then I'm going to repent. And I'm going to say, Father, I haven't appreciated you the way I deserve. Now let me tell you how this works. I want you to find some quiet space in your life. The sooner the better. Just quiet space. And then on the inside, where your authentic self is. I want you to reach out and say something like this. Father, I'm coming home to you. I'm returning to you. I'm reaching out to you. I'm sorry that I have strayed from you. But I want to come home. I want to once again feel what it means to be part of your family, to walk in the light, to be the soul you want me to be. You don't have to go on a quest. He is not far from every one of us. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, that's the one who will be saved. I want to speak to some of you. You can remember a time in your life when you were much closer to God than you are right now. You can remember a time. You can remember a time when you enjoyed being around God. You look forward to prayer time. When you read the Bible, it made sense to you, and you were more and more interested in it. But somebody told you about the big city. Somebody told you about everything people were doing there. And you drifted. And you wandered away. And now you find yourself spiritually, far from your Father. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. You can return today. And that kid got up, tired, filthy, lonely, and he had this deep confidence, if I just get to my Father, he'll make this right. I just have to get back to my Father. And he started that long trip home. He was a different man than when he left. When he left, he couldn't get away fast enough. When he left, he had all these myths about what really made life good. When he left, he had all these ambitions. When he left, he didn't have near the regrets that he had going home. But he was going home. The young man didn't know it, but every day the father went out on the front porch and looked down the road. I have an image in my mind of a farm we lived on in Minnesota. It was a dirt road. They laid these roads out straight as an arrow. You could look down that dirt road, and all you could see was a little up, a little down for a long, long way. That's the image I have in my head. The father looked down the road, and something caught his eye. And it was moving his way. And the father watched. Pretty soon he recognized it was somebody walking in that direction. And with his sharp eye, he recognized, that's my son. He saw his son when he was still a far way off. And the first thing he felt toward that son was compassion. And he couldn't wait for the boy to get there. And he leaped off the porch. And he ran down that dirty road. And there was the boy. His clothes were filthy. His hair was matted. He was emaciated. And none of that mattered to the father. The father threw his arms around his son. And he hugged him. And he kissed him. And this is what he said. My son. My son. Christ is saying to us, we can't lay there, church. In your inner self, you can't lay there. Some of you gave up. You laid down. It hurt too bad. You had too much regret, too much remorse, and you just laid down. And you've been laying down for years. You gave up. I'm telling you, there is a father who's saying to you right now, get up. Get up. Stop laying there. Stand up in your inner person and come home. Because you're not going home to a judge. You're going home to a father. You're not going home to just a father. You're going home to a father who's waiting for you. He's expecting you. He's not content for you to remain where you are this morning. I don't hear the word, I don't hear the Father say, I told you so. I knew you wouldn't make it. I don't hear the Father say, I can see you got what you deserved. I hear no anger, no resentment, not one condemnation. I see a Father who's full of compassion, who embraces and kisses. If you come home to your father, you can expect these five things. He'll see you. Say, Doc, what if I sit down and look, your father will see you. He'll see you a lot clearer than you see him. And he'll see you a long time before you see him. You can expect your father to see you. And when he sees you, he's going to see beyond what is broken and shaming, and he's going to see your heart, and he's going to have compassion. Then wherever you are, no matter how far you are, he's going to run to you. God will cover the greatest distance. And he's going to embrace your soul. And he's going to kiss your heart. Because that's what fathers are supposed to do. Church. And then this boy, his life is a wreck. But listen what he says. Father. I've disappointed you in every way I can, but listen, I still know you're my father. I've wasted so much of the good you've given to me, but I still know you're my father. And he must have been crying streams of tears when he said, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. I wonder what's keeping you from God today. Where are you? In your inner self, where are you lying down? And what is it going to take for you to get up? You see, God is ready to be gracious and compassionate to you. He's ready to embrace you and kiss you. But you have to turn to the Father this morning. You can trust God is willing to accept your confession without a harsh reply. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Listen, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the Father goes into action. Look at the Father in action. He calls out to the people who work for him. And he said, all right, I want you to do this quickly. Whatever you're doing, put it down. It's not as important as this. I want you to go find the best robe we have in this house. I want this kid washed up. I want one of the family signet rings brought out and put on his finger. And I'm not having my son walk around here barefoot. You find some good shoes and put it on this boy. Then he said to some other servants, you go out in the barn and you find that calf that we've been fattening up for a big celebration. You kill that calf and you roast it because we are having a party tonight. Because my son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and he's now he's found. And the whole farm began to celebrate. Church, the son was right. When he got home to his father took charge of everything. I don't restore myself to the Father restores me. I don't try to find a stream and wash myself up. I don't try to go to a Goodwill and see if I can't get something that's not filthy and ragged. I just show up to the Father, and then the Father goes into action. The Father restores us. He says, I'll not have my kids dressed like that. Find the best robe we have in this house. I want the best one. I'll not have people thinking that I don't want this boy to be my son anymore. I want a family signet ring put on his finger. And in this family, we wear shoes. I want shoes on this kid's feet. And I want tonight to be the biggest celebration our family's ever had. Church, listen to the Father's verdict. My son, my child, the one that I was afraid would die far from home is alive. The one that was lost is found. And I want to celebrate that. God is ready to restore you, brothers and sisters. He's ready. He has a white robe of righteousness that he wants to put on you. He wants to remind you that we will rule with Christ. He has the shoes of the gospel of peace that he wants to put on your feet. He claims you as his child, no matter how far you've strayed or what pig pen you've been in. God hasn't changed his heart about you. Church, now I want to ask you, are you ready to put your whole trust in him? Are you just ready to put your whole trust in the Father and say, I want to live in your family? I'm not happy. I'm not happy where I've been. I want to live in your family. Church, I'm talking to you about a righteousness that comes by faith and not by works. Can you hear this? I'm talking about what God can do for you, not what you can do for God. And I'm asking you today to reconsider what it means to be a child of God. And I'm asking you to turn to your Heavenly Father. Tell him you want to be in the family and ask him to restore you. Our dear Heavenly Father, I am so amazed at you. I'm amazed. I want to be in your family. I don't like living far from home. I don't like who I become. I don't like the results my life produces. I want to live in your family. I'm sorry I've squandered so much of your kindness to me. I'm sorry I've thought wrong thoughts about you. And in my inner soul, I turn to you and say, I don't deserve to be your son. I'd be delighted to be your employee. I pray for myself, and I pray for everyone who's here this morning and everybody who's watching online. I pray that your spirit would sweep over us and we would feel a new inclination to trust your fatherly care. I pray that we would turn to you with honest and open hearts. And I pray that you would restore us for your great name's sake. Amen.